I want to talk a little bit tonight, and then maybe someone else can share a little bit that God's doing in you about your marriage. I talked some Sunday about mine and the work that God did in me last week. But I want to talk about Jacob today, and we're going to look in Genesis chapter 27. Verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son," he said, "behold, here am I." He said, "Behold, I'm old. I know not the day of my death." And go to verse 4. He says, he wants him to make a savory meat, such as he loves, and bring it to him that he may eat, that his soul may bless him before he dies. So we see right here, Isaac is wanting to bless Esau. He's wanting to speak the blessing over him before he dies. Okay? Verse 6, Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go fetch the kids of the goats and make the meat for your father and bring it to him." And then verse 12. Jacob has this fear that his father is going to know that he's not Esau. So he says, "My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch it for me." So Jacob did that. He went and did his mother's wishes, and he got the meat, and he deceived his father, and Isaac gave Jacob the blessing instead of Esau. So I want to talk about tonight. Some of us have felt tricked or deceived. Maybe you felt that way in your marriage. Maybe you thought it would be a different way. Or I know sin does that to us, that we don't see the end result of sin, and the enemy beguiles us and tricks us. And sometimes in the beginning, and we go drink that beer or smoke that joint or smoke that cigarette, but he don't show us the outcome of those things. Eat those 12, 15 Oreos. He don't show that tomorrow I'm going to want 12 or 15 more Oreos or another joint or another cigarette. Or he don't show the end result of a divided home, that when we're not honest in the beginning, when we manipulate before we even get in a marriage, when our whole marriage is built on lies and manipulation because someone was trying to get us in a way that wasn't honest or didn't tell us the whole truth, that's the foundation of the sin, and that's the foundation of the marriage. And so later on in life, we start feeling tricked sometimes. I'm sure my husband didn't know the way I would be 20 years later. And so that enemy, that thought can come and say, "This is not how I thought it was going to be. This is not what I thought I was marrying." How many of y'all ever experienced that? We can't say much because our spouse is sitting by us. But but I want us to notice that he was scared that a curse would come on him instead of a blessing, because he knew he was doing wrong. He knew he was deceiving. He knew sometimes deception or manipulation was to act like it don't know. But Jacob knew. He said, "Mama, if I do this," he said, "I'm probably going to get a curse instead of a blessing because I'm operating in deception." So the root cause of his whole life was trickery and deception and manipulation. And the only thing that Jacob had going for him was the Abrahamic, the blessing from Abraham, because that curse, that seed from that mother, that trickery that came from that family, because not only was she a manipulator, whenever Jacob got the blessing, Rebekah heard Esau say, I'm going to kill him because he tricked me. I'm going to pay him back for what he did to me. He stole my birthright and he stole my blessing. So she still manipulated and went in there and told Jacob, she said, you need to leave here because he wants to kill you. So manipulation's always hiding. If you're hiding things from your spouse, then you're manipulating and you're lying, and it will catch up with you. And it's not going to go well with you in those areas. If you're hiding money, if you're hiding women or men or porn or alcohol or drugs or in saying that I don't do those things anymore, it will catch up with you. Amen. It will. The Bible says every hidden thing will be made manifest and it'll be brought to the surface. So whatever reason that you won't tell that, then realize that in the end there's going to be a curse on you if someone don't come and break that curse and speak a blessing over your life and you don't quit deceiving, then that's going to follow you the rest of your days, and it'll go through your children just like it went to Jacob from his mother. And that seed of that rebellion, that seed of that manipulation, that seed of that deception, even as a young man, he knew it was wrong, didn't he? So I want to expose that tonight that acts like it don't know, because it does know. There's one thing about manipulation is it wants to tell you that you don't know what you're doing. But one way you know it's wrong is you got to hide. You got to sneak. You can't be honest. You can't be out front with people. Sometimes we call it intimidation, but it's manipulation. Sometimes I hide under timidity, but really I'm manipulating to get someone to be out there for me so I don't have to be the one out in the front. Well, you're a deceiver and you're a trickster, and it won't go well with you. It won't go well till you come back to the reality that this is the beginning of my relationship with that person. I've been manipulating them from day one. I've been manipulating in the church. I've been manipulating my pastor, or the pastor is manipulating the people. And until they fix that, then deception and curse and all those things are going to come forth, and they're going to go through the seed. They're going to go through those generations. Amen? So when Esau was going to kill his brother, she told him, and they told him, run to your uncle Laban. So he couldn't get out from under that curse because his father said, you go and you stay with Laban. You stay with him about a month. And he was going to the one that tricked him for the next 20 years. So he couldn't get out of that curse in his own mind. He couldn't manipulate out of that curse. He couldn't deceive out of that curse. He was going to be under tricking and trickery and deception until this curse was broken out of his life. He didn't even have any control over it. His parents is telling him, do this, you go here. So they sent him to Laban, which is her brother. So manipulation and deception was in the family roots. It was in the whole family. And because of that, Jacob was under this curse until somebody, a man of God, came and spoke an Abrahamic blessing over him and broke the curse. And it still tried to follow him, but he increased more and more because the blessing, God says what he blesses, no man can curse. So if you can ever find the root of that deception and that trickery, because if you're operating in it, then it's probably in your family, it's in your home, it's in your parents, it's in when you were a child. If you want to know why you can't quit manipulating and you keep getting confronted and you keep doing it anyway, then there's a root somewhere. There's a root system. There's a reason that you keep operating in that. And it probably came in out of a spirit of fear that something was going to get taken away from you. Amen? So God help us tonight to find that. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. So he has this curse working, and he sent to Laban, his uncle, to find him a wife. And so Jacob dreams, verse 12, he says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. See, Isaac didn't have the manipulation. His wife did. Right here he says, I'm the God of Isaac. I'm coming to break the curse. I'm coming to destroy what was on the mother's side of the family. I'm coming, God says. I'm coming to you, Jacob, and breaking the curse, because I'm going to do what I told Abraham. I'm going to do what I told Isaac, and I'm going to do what I'm telling you, which is the Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So he's saying that I'm giving you the land of Canaan. It doesn't matter if a curse has been spoken on your life, or if you've been raised in manipulation or pornography or adultery or any of those things, God's able to bring you out. If you can get into the places where they know how to break curses and speak blessings, then those things can be broken off of you, and you can stop manipulating, and you can stop hiding, and you can realize tonight what that's doing to your family. And if you keep doing it after you know the truth, then you're causing conflict, you're causing division, you're causing something working in you that's witchcraft. The Bible says that it's as the sin of witchcraft. It's just like a witch working her magic when we use manipulation. And we can say we don't know it, but he said he knew when it was working in him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So Jacob's under his uncle Laban. And Laban says, Jacob, you can't work for me without wages. So what is it that you want? And Jacob said, Rachel looks pretty good. He wasn't manipulating there, was he? He was telling him up front what he wanted. He wanted Rachel. He had the choice between Rachel and Leah, and he picked Rachel. And he told Laban, he said, I'll work for you for 7 years to get her. So Laban said, oh, yes. He said, what would I do with her if you didn't get her? I have to give her to some man. So what would I do if I didn't give her to you? So here's Jacob working for Rachel for 7 years. And the Bible said it didn't seem like anything to him because she was so beautiful. Well, after the 7 years, when they went through the marriage rituals, and when he got up the next morning, it was Leah instead of Rachel. So Jacob was tricked that night. Now, I want us to realize that the blessing of Abraham was on him at this point. He was God's seed from the beginning, but the curse got broken, and the blessing came on him, but Laban's still trying to deceive. So if you're going after God and you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, or being obedient in everything he asks of you, or crying out to him mainly, if you're crying out to him and going after him, then the blessing, his blessing is upon you. And the ones tricking you, your bosses, your wives, your friends, or whoever, how many have you been deceived before? How many ever felt betrayed before? Well, if you've got the blessing of Abraham on you and they keep on deceiving and they keep on tricking you, it's not going to stop the blessing. It's not going to stop what God has for you. They can manipulate all day. They can try to control till next week, but it will not stop what God has, because that blessing has already went forth. And God said, well, he's blessed. No man can curse. Well, once it's spoken out of his mouth, it cannot be taken away. So he came, the angels came down that ladder, and they said, we're going to bless you, Jacob, and you're going to go into the promised land. You and your seed are going in. So maybe you're a soldier of the Lord, and you fight with everything in you, and you keep getting manipulated. You keep feeling controlled, and people keep abusing, and people keep using. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the blessing of Abraham is still going to win the war. The blessing of Abraham is coming forth through that battle. You're going to win the war. You're going to win it. Hey, you're going to win it. I don't care what boss tried to do you under. What boss wanted to underpay you. They didn't know the blessing of Abraham was on you, or they would have been doing you right. They didn't know what they had. They didn't know what they had. Laban didn't really want to acknowledge what he had till he was about to lose Jacob. Because Jacob started getting tired of it. And he got ready to go. And Laban's words were, "Through my experiences, I've been blessed since you've been here. What can I do to keep you? Name your wages." And Jacob had done serving for 14 years. Some of you have been confronted and been used by, abused by, manipulating. Some of you have been in marriages and been manipulated for 14 years. And you've laid your face on an altar. And you've cried out to a holy God. And it looked like you wasn't anything. And that spirit could just do what it wanted to with your emotions. That's how Jacob was. And he got tired. He said, "I'm ready to go." And Laban said, "What can I do for you to stay?" And Jacob said, "Okay, for my wages," he said, "let me have the spotted calf and let them breed. And the ones that are spotted and the ones that are speckled and the ones that are black," he said, "that'll be my wages." So that curse still tried to operate, Brother Richard. The curse still tries to operate in your home from your ancestors. The curses of poverty, the curses of abuse, the curses of manipulation still try to operate, just like they did with him. And Laban tricked him. He was tricking him one more time. He said, "Oh, yes, Jacob, if that'll keep you here," he said, "that we'll do that." And so Laban gets his sons, and he goes hides all the speckled, spotted, and black ones. So Jacob couldn't get blessed, so he'd think he needed him for 20 more years. So he'd think that he couldn't come out and do anything for himself, that he had to serve this spirit for the rest of his life, that he had to be controlled, he had to be beat down. Adam may think he got to be beat down in there, but the blessing of Abraham is upon him in the name of Jesus. And I call it forth right now. And I call that forth into that place that he's going. And I command the protection of the living God to be upon him. In the name of Jesus, I call you forth the blessing of Abraham. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The righteous shall be delivered. Blessing to Abraham upon his life, God. We thank you. The blessing of Abraham is upon their seed. And we speak protection over him in Jesus' name. So he thought he had him one more time. And he said, "Oh yes, Jacob." And he tricked him. But the Bible says that Jacob increased more and more. It didn't matter what that spirit tried to do to him. And it won't matter what it tries to do to you, Stephanie. If you stay true to God, then the blessings will win in the end. The blessing of Abraham, which is the Galatians says it's to all of us, that we're the seed of Abraham. So everything that God promised him, which was his seed to go into the promised land. How many know this is our promised land? This is. When you break through in the spirit in here, that's our promised land. And when we get to heaven, heaven's only going to tell how many lives were saved because somebody broke through in the spirit realm. Heaven's only going to tell how many marriages were healed. Heaven's only going to tell how many spirits were broken off of people's lives because somebody went past the surface and went into the spirit realm. Somebody went into the promised land. Somebody went all the way with God. Somebody went fully into the things of God. And when they went into that place, miracles broke forth. People got healed. Souls got saved. Money came forth in the name of Jesus. Hey! I was telling them a couple weeks ago, I don't remember how long, but I don't know what day it was, but it was. We were praying over here in the corner. Four or five of us were praying. And there was a situation that happened that we needed a good amount of money to fix this situation. And I hadn't prayed about it. I was just getting over the shock of it. But that day it came to me. And it came out of my mouth. God, the money for this. And the other day my husband woke me up and he said, this is what I thought about this. He said, but this is the amount of money. And it was the amount of money that God put in me that would cost to get fixed. But that came out of one time of breaking through at these altars. One time of breaking through, coming in agreement, and someone saying, the anointing's here for money. Call out your need right now. Call it out right now. And I said, God, would you send the money for this? And went on and prayed for everything else. And that money came in 3 weeks later. That miracle money, that money that nobody knew that. I didn't tell anybody about that situation. And that money came in. And I didn't even remember that prayer day. But the Holy Ghost reminded me. He said, you remember a couple weeks ago when you called out that prayer, that one little simple prayer, after y'all broke through and went to the Spirit realm. He said, that's why that came forth. That's why that was manifested. That's why my souls are saved in my family. That's why provision happens. It's because I go in there and get it. That's the only other reason. That's the only reason. If you say it don't work for you, I'm telling you how to get it to work for you. You go past that natural realm. You quit manipulating, trying to do it. You quit trying to hide. You quit trying to do it your way, and you lose control of your mind. And I promise you, the promises of God will come forth. You'll have those houses. You'll have those cars. You'll have those new shoes. You'll have that marriage healed. You'll have that body healed. You'll have those finances. But if you try to manipulate it, then you're causing a curse to operate, is what you're doing. And God's trying to bring us out of the curse. He said he redeemed me from the curse of the law. So if I manipulate, then I'm coming in agreement with the law. Why am I coming in agreement with the law? How am I? How is that coming in agreement with the law? Because I won't trust God. I won't come out of, she wouldn't trust God with Jacob. She thought she had to do it herself. She thought she had to hide and sneak and lie and manipulate to make that work for that son. But as soon as, if she would have just gave it over to God, it would have saved, because the curse did come on her. The Bible, you don't hear anymore where she got to ever see her son again. But the blessing come upon Jacob, because what happened to him was he got to have Joseph. And the Joseph followed, the blessing followed Joseph. So when Jacob got real old and he needed some food, the blessing was still there. The blessing was still following. Joseph was still saying, come and let us take care of you. The blessing followed Jacob for the rest of his life. But the curse followed his mother because she refused to come out of manipulation. She refused to come out of the curse. She refused to come out of her own self and give it over to God. And I'm just asking, if there's some things in your life tonight that you've tried everything you can try to make that work. You've done everything in your own strength, and it seems like it's not no better. Or maybe you think you didn't do anything and you feel guilty because you didn't do enough in your eyes. But you don't have to do it all right if the blessing's on you. Jacob wasn't perfect, but it didn't matter. The end result was still the same. He still had the blessing of Abraham upon his life. He still increased abundantly. He still increased more and more. So God's not looking at you what you are. He's not depending on your flesh to bring you through the promised land. He's depending on your faith. He's depending on you coming out of your mind, which is all I mean when I say come out of your mind, is for you to operate in faith, for you to give that situation over to God like Maddie's doing, for you to give it over to him and say, God, I can't do nothing with it. I can't fix this thing, God. See, we try to fix everything, especially Mercy Move people, because I am one. We try to fix stuff. But that gets us in trouble, right? Because I can't fix a spiritual problem with my natural means. I'll never be able to fix a spiritual problem with natural means. And if I don't know how to find out the problem in the spirit, it cannot be fixed. So if your sons or your daughters or your mamas or your daddies won't quit doing stuff, the stuff isn't a problem. The surface, the binge isn't it. Maybe their binge is going partying every 3 weeks. Just can't handle anything else. Gotta go party. You saying something not gonna fix it. But if you're going to this promised land and you'll go into that supernatural, God will just unfold it to you just like that. You'll be up here just pressing through with us, and one day you'll be home washing your dishes, and you'll say, oh, my Jesus, this is what happened when Josh was a little boy. God, forgive me, and I break this off my son in the name of Jesus. And you can live in freedom. You can live in liberty just like that. And you can have all your needs met just like that. You want to talk about it a little bit?
I said earlier in prayer that I've lived a life of sacrifice, and sacrifice is law. And that means doing what I thought was right in the circumstance, doing what I thought God wanted me to do all my life, giving sacrificially, and that put me under law because it had nothing to do with relationship. It had nothing to do with me hearing the voice of God. It was law, trying to live by the law, just like they did in the Old Testament, trying to do what I thought was right. And that's what we do when we take our circumstances into our own hands and we try to do what we think is right, because we don't know. I don't know unless I spend time with God and give him those things in my life that, and then he gives me an answer. And God has brought me to the place where I can say, I don't have to know how to do anything anymore. I was raised that knowledge was real important. And raised in religion, that's what you get is knowledge. I didn't get spirit. So I depended on that. I depended on that to get me through. You fall on what you know. And I prayed. I'm not saying I didn't seek God, because I did, but I did not have that relationship with him. I could get in his presence and let him come on me, but I still did not have that relationship with him. It's a whole different thing when we can come before him and actually give him a problem. And be able to release it and let him work on it and know that that is not in my heart anymore. I don't have any anxiousness about that anymore because I have really given that to God. And in fact, don't even think about it unless it comes before me. But the anxiousness, if there's any anxiousness in our heart or worry or fret, God says be anxious for nothing. And he means it. We don't have to live that way. He's provided this for our own sanity so that we can come to him and hear his voice, get his plan, And I don't have to depend on my own ability, my own strength, my own provision, my own. I don't have to provide for myself. And that is such a the opposite of what the world teaches. You know, we're taught to provide for ourselves, to take care of ourselves. Well, God is, he's provided a way. Jesus is our shepherd, and we're the sheep. He wants to take care of us like that. And when I can come before him and just pour my heart out and tell him, that's where we let all our anxiousness go and our worry and our fret and our fear and all those negative things. And we tell him about them. And that gets it out of me. And he brings me to that place of release where I can let it go and give it over to him. And then when that anxiousness comes back, if it does a little, you know, down the road, just do it again. And he gives us that word, you know, in his presence. He'll speak a word. He always speaks something at the end, you know, when you're giving that over to him, he'll speak a word. And then when that comes, we use his word. It's nothing to do about me. I am so grateful. I don't have to do anything but be obedient to him.
I have a testimony about it. I won't call any names, but it was a few years ago that I came up here because I felt anxious. I thought someone was going to kill themselves that I care about deeply. And I didn't make any commitments to God. Oh, I'll stay up there a week till you do something. I just come and prayed. And I prayed until finally I said, God, I don't know. I don't hear anything from you. I don't know. And I heard these words. If it's enough for now, if you need to do it again, just like I told you this time, I'll tell you that time.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
So that thing was trying to make me go in that fear that if I left that they would do that. But that was my word. So I had to, going in the promised land is saying okay. And not walking out here and calling and making sure they didn't do it. It's okay, God. And then if I feel anxious again, I say, okay, God, but you told me that if I need to do that again, I'll know and I'll go. And then I'd get peace. So he wasn't trying to get me to do it again. The enemy was trying to torment me. I can tell you that's probably been 4 years ago. This person on Valentine banquet did not know that prayer, was an alcoholic, suicidal, a drug addict at the time, did not know that prayer happened. And one day, I was in this office, and someone knocked on my door, and it was that person. And they talked a little bit, and the next thing I knew, they're not drinking anymore, and God starts bringing recovery.
Amen.
Well, so the other night, we're talking about something and none of that. And all of a sudden, they said, you know, the headaches were real. The headaches. I have a compassion for sick people, they said, because it hurts so bad that I wanted to kill myself. First time they ever admitted that they wanted to do it to begin with. The second thing, I'm just sitting here in astonishment that they're even saying anything.
Yes.
And the third thing was, but one day it hurt so bad and I couldn't get any relief. I couldn't get any help. And I heard these words, if you'll just cry out to me.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, they'd been shooting up, getting fixed up for years for that headache. But this time, they didn't go that route. They cried out to God, and he told them, he said, if you'll cry out to me, so God help me, God help me. And they said the headache left right then.
Amen.
It left. Hallelujah. So what happened was that prayer was manifested 4 years later. I mean, it manifested before, but the truth of it all came out 4 years later. What happened that day in that promised land, in that place with God, in that secret place where I gave that over to him and said, God, I'm scared they're going to do this. Would you speak to me? And when I totally released it and trusted God, and did the fear come back some? It tried to, but the devil knew I was going to go back again, so he had to shut up. Because he's scared I might go in there and pray something else. So he started leaving me alone, and that's what he'll do to you. He'll quit tormenting you when you learn how to go in there and possess your land. When you learn how to get a word from God, then you can have peace over those children, and those chains will be broken. And it don't matter if you see them for a year. They'll come out of that bondage. You don't have to tell them anything. You don't have to go tell them how good you prayed for them. You don't have to say a word. You'll just see them one day up there playing music for Jesus Christ, or you'll see your daughter out here saying, "I think I don't want to live with this man anymore." And you'll see someone else say, "I don't want to be divorced anymore. I'm sick of going through this cycle." And you'll be amazed that one day God will take you back where you went into the promised land, where the blessing of Abraham is upon your life. And he said, "The seed of the righteous shall be delivered." And then that come forth and you actually seen it, you will not forsake prayer again. You'll want to go into that spirit realm every time. You'll want to hear those things from God so you can see fruit of your labor, so you can see the fruit of holiness. There's a fruit of holiness. We're not just holy for nothing. We're not set apart just because we got to be right. We're set apart for the use of the living God, that he can come upon us and he can intercede, because he's the one that cares. He's the one that loves. He's the one that didn't want them to go to hell. He's the one that rescued their soul. All I was a tool, somebody that would lay down and say, "God, use me for intercession," until a word came upon me. That's what I'm talking about, a breakthrough and a sudden advancement of knowledge, an advancement of sudden knowledge over your situation. You don't have to wonder if they ever come to church here. Since you're Joel, you can get a word and you can see it in the spirit like you've done.
Hallelujah.
And that will come to pass. When you see it in the spirit, you can have it. You can have it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for showing us how to do it, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we're not just telling it, we're showing it.
Thank
showing
you,
it by making it as easy as I can. That you can be sitting in your car and that heart cry out, "Save my marriage, God. I don't want a divorce." And he'll come upon you and he'll give you something. He'll give you a way out. God, we just want to thank you for the promised land. We thank you for the blessing of Abraham, that you said that the families, the ones with the seed of Abraham, with the blessing of Abraham, will be blessed, and it'll go through their families. And I just thank you for showing us how to break these curses off of our family members so they can be free, and showing us that it's worth it, God. You said you were crucified because you saw the prize that was set before you. You saw us, and if we can see them, it'll be worth it to
us.
Jesus. If we can get through that cloudy mind of everything that the enemy tries to put on us through our day,
God,
and we can see the fruit of our labor, we'll want to pray every time. God bless you tonight. If you want to pray, I'm going to let Elder Dana play some music and then bring us on into the deeper in the Holy of Holies. I'll be leaving Saturday to go with Pastor D. If you need anything, call the elders, and I'll be back the next Sunday. But I'm excited because Elder Robert will go in the Holy of Holies. I trust him, and I believe him to bring y'all a word. Thank you for supporting the church. If you want to give, just bring your tithes and offering, and we'll pray over it tonight. And God, I thank you for showing us how to go in, God. Showing us how to take our land, Lord. Showing us how to get results. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to live in a maybe. I don't have to live in a distressing situation. I can have a word from you to stand on, God. And I thank you when those things hit, we're in that ocean, and it's just beating against that ship and beating and beating and beating. But we have that word in the eye of the storm, God. We have the peace on the inside of our heart. And I just give you those that don't have any peace tonight, God. I'm asking you that they lay down this spirit that manipulates, that tries to work everything out itself, tries to fix these kids, tries to fix these husbands, tries to fix these wives. You come out in the name of Jesus, and you get out of here. That thing that's not honest, that's hiding under the table, God, that manipulating thing that's not bringing everything up to the table, God, that's not bringing that anger up, God, that's hoarding it up and paying them back, I come against you in the name of Jesus, and I pull you down, and I command you to loose your hold and get out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.